after World War II, and the waters of Venice are now clear. You can actually see in them. So I think it's important what some of us business leaders and entrepreneurs of today is to say, hey, we've got an ability to hit the reset button on some things and do some really fun things together to make this world a better place.
This is another episode of the Automate and Grow podcast. My guest today is Scott Krager of Bequest Tech. And Scott was introduced to me by a mutual acquaintance, which is Tim Allison of Screw the Naysayers. Thanks, Scott, for being my guest today.
My pleasure. Thank you, Michael.
Now, we were talking before we started recording, and you're involved in some really kind of cutting edge, big tech, and you're working on some interesting things. What sort of stuff are you working on that you think might change the world?
Yeah, I think it's just,
you can talk about it.
There's a lot of solutions out there. There's a lot of challenges and problems we have. If you take the time to actually go out there and look, there's solutions to those problems. And we just live in a day and an age where it's pretty exciting that we can start to turn some of this stuff around. So heavy on the ag tech side, also on supply chain and provenance and various technologies in and around those areas. So some of those examples are some technologies that we call bloom boosters that help farmers grow products better, quicker, without the use of cutting down on the amount of pesticides or herbicides they need to use through a sound frequency, all the way down to a technology with flash that we can utilize to do plant diagnostics from a satellite and be able to help farmers in real time, giving them access to information so they don't have to wait for 2 weeks to get a lab report back.
Oh, interesting.
From drought resistance to disease, salmonella and coli in their field to, you know, catch it before it makes it into the food processing plants. Then there's a supply chain project, it's called Checker. With supply chain being such a prominent in the world in the news today, where we're able to move things through the supply chain in a way that you can counteract having counterfeiting and those type of things, tied to a dynamic database. And then we've got some things that we're working on to get America and the world back to work and let this pesky virus get put behind us. So some other really, really big things coming in the very near future.
So, you know, we're obviously in the middle of this kind of strange pandemic situation. do you think that after this, that this is kind of a catalyst for, you know, some of these next generation technologies to be heavily invested in, and that older business models that get kind of crushed by this, people will abandon them? Or what's your kind of your feeling on that?
Yeah, it's a big question and a fun one to kind of even just ponder, Michael. Some of the things I see, you know, going around, and it's kind of a return to the old way of doing things. I guess it's kind of like, you know, you're down in the LA area and, you know, in Hollywood, you know, is there any really new ideas? I don't know if there are, but
no.
Some of the things within farming and aspects of, you know, growing our crops, we're really starting to look at what we've been doing for such a long time and letting things ripen in a box, which it doesn't ripen in a box. Growing our foods more locally and worrying about the amount of cost and fuel and to our environment to truck it someplace. Well, back in World War II, we had victory gardens. We can grow a lot of crops locally, right, cutting down on the footprint that they have. And actually, does people really remember what a real tomato tastes like?
Well, that's so nutrition? Funny you say that, right? Because yeah, if you go to, like, for example, if you go to Italy, and I remember distinctly when I first went to Italy, and I went to a little corner store, and they had these little things, and I was like, is that a tomato? And it didn't look amazing, right? Like, it wasn't big and plump and shiny.
Yep.
And then, but you could bite into it, and it was like, holy crud, this is what a tomato tastes like.
Yeah.
So I think you're right. Like, it's like we're building, you know, for example, Franken tomatoes that are crops that are resilient, but maybe not what they originally tasted like, right?
Yeah. And just think what that does with your nutrition level. When you go to an organic food, it's about 20% more nutrition than you're going to get in a non-organic food. And when you go to a biodynamic farming, it could even be more. And that nutrition translates into our bodies and health and better sleep, less disease. And we are in the fourth industrial revolution on this planet, and agriculture is leading the way. So we're doing a lot of really cool things. I mean, we're going to put man on Mars in less than 5 years. And we're starting to take a look at what this planet's like and just saying, you know what, we can do it a better way. And some of those ways even goes back to, I'd love to get this story out. I don't think a lot of people know it, but did you know that Henry Ford's first car he made was predominantly made out of hemp?
Isn't that weird? Because, I mean, there was a real push against hemp around William Randolph Hearst, right?
You got it. Exactly.
Yeah.
So he could have more newspapers and cut down his forests and all of that.
But it's an interesting product. And I think a lot of people associate it with a certain lifestyle, and they associate the fact that it has THC properties. But as a cloth or a building product, it's actually got some crazy applications, right?
26,000 different applications. Wow. You can make plastic out of it that's actually stronger than steel.
Really?
The engine block of the first car that Henry Ford made was made out of hemp plastic.
That is crazy. Okay.
There's hardly any THC in it.
Yeah.
So it's not really associated with cannabis, which is its cousin plant. But a lot of farmers are starting to get back to it of what we grew with that. So
are there still like regulation problems with hemp, or what's the status of it?
No, hemp became legalized federally 2 years ago, less than that, year and a half, something of that nature.
Oh.
So it's rope, nylon. The seeds are some of the most healthy, most protein, nutritious food source that we have on the planet. So, it's kind of a weird topic to talk about, but I think it's applicable with this virus. We had a lot of shortages on toilet paper, right? I know, but it's just, if you take into consideration the amount of toilet paper you can make from an acre of hemp that grows back every year, it takes about 40 acres of timber to make that same amount of toilet paper.
Where, I mean, how long does it take for timber to grow? It's like, years and years and years, right?
So just think about how many billions or hundreds of millions of acres of trees that we've cut down just for that purpose. And we're starting to wake up to that. I think a lot of, we're looking at the long term for our planet. And you and I were talking before the call about, I think it was interesting that the bird outside your door last night, right. Are people noticing the birds are singing louder and the sky is looking bluer? And they are talking that our the air quality is like returning back to the level of what it was like after World War II. And the waters of Venice are now clear. You can actually see in them. So I think it's important with some of us business leaders and entrepreneurs of today is to say, hey, we've got an ability to hit the reset button on some things and do some really fun things together to make this world a better place. And I've had almost 30 years in the wine industry, and what's wine about? It's about community. It's about business. It's one of the, as far as worldwide, it makes a very big footprint, but it's not a very big industry as far as the amount of people, but it has it casts a pretty big shadow of what we do. We were the first industry to really start to outlaw not wanting to have Monsanto and Roundup in there. And now we're looking at really those biodynamic farming and getting, we've proven our soils and making a quality product. And the wine industry, really, if I was to boil it down to its core, it's about community. It's about sitting around a table with a really good bottle of wine or two with friends and family and enjoy a meal and just enjoy each other's company. And then that's a lot of what I think this reset time is gone, as people are kind of getting to it. And my parents are on Zoom now. I mean,
that's hilarious.
It is. So doctors, right. In 2010, I started a company where I was going to do counseling and doctor visits online. Skype just came out. I guess I was a little ahead of my time, but now look at it, and people are realizing, do I really need to drive into the doctor to, you know, go through that hassle, and can I just see him online? So world's getting smaller.
No kidding.
That could be a good thing.
That's kind of, that's a great technology, I think, Zoom. And I just noticed that there was a competitor called BlueJeans that just got sold. So I think that space is just probably blowing up. I think distance education in general has probably just become education.
Yep.
Like, you've got these crazy models of education that have, they're behind the times, and they're more rooted in union mentality and staying the course than understanding the real world. And then we're trying to make people comply with it, and kids don't, kids aren't stupid. They live in the real world part of the time. So
yeah.
They're resistant in a lot of ways. We're seeing, obviously, you hit on the head about transportation with the crazy things that are going on with oil and pollution in general. It's going to be interesting to see, like, will people stay home? Will they educate their own kids? Will they grow their own food? And is that suddenly now not about, it's always been stigmatized, I think, right? It's always been seen as backwards or associated with lifestyles like hippies or whatever. Like, so do you think that now that this is going to make, people realize, because you kind of alluded to that, that no, this is the cutting edge way. This is the way to live a great life.
And even down there where you're at, there's his name's going to, I'd have to look it up, but there's a couple pretty big vertical farm growers down in Beverly Hills and LA, and taking some of these indoor areas and actually just starting to grow the crops indoors underneath, lights and whatnot. And then now look how far they got to truck that to get it to the supermarket, and it's going to be ripe. It's going to have grown in a good medium with lots of nutrition. And that's the exciting part about things is, and you alluded to it when you had that tomato. I was over in Thailand a couple of years ago for 3 weeks, and the food was just amazing.
It's incredible there. The food's really good. Yeah, I have. Yeah, it's amazing there.
Yeah, I mean, just hardly any trash on the streets in Bangkok.
Inexpensive, like. It's obviously got some rough sides to the society, but the food's incredible, and there's actually a really interesting culture there, and it feels like a young society, right?
Yeah, very much does. And the king that was there was a pretty amazing individual. He was able to leave the palace at 3 o'clock in the morning with no guards and walk the streets of Bangkok with no guards. He was so beloved that if anyone would even dare mess with him, you would have an entire country down on you. Was truly a leader that really loved his people. The Thai people are amazing, amazing place to be. I left a chunk of my heart there. So,
yeah, it's a cool place for sure. So, the stuff that you're working on, what are the two or three areas that you think are going to most impact the world?
Well, we're doing something with the coronavirus right now. That I want to get a little bit further along with over the next week or two, and we'll have something really big to kind of share with the world, to see how that all works itself out. FDA is a funny thing, and getting things approved and getting it so that you can check all the right boxes. But outside of that one is our supply chain. We've got a system called Checker, and she's by the military and NASA, and it's able to put an enormous amount of data on a label. It's an ID. It's a way of being able to interact and taking the blockchain far beyond the blockchain. Blockchain is just such a simpler, about makes 5% of that system, but it makes that the label is dynamic, and the farm to fork experience, and then also being able to prevent against counterfeiting. But it's an idea of being able to interact with it. You can even take it into marketing aspect of it. So if somebody has a Checker logo on it that's unhackable, and you're wanting to say, maybe it's the T-shirt you bought, and that's a really cool painting there behind you. And so you took a what's that?
It's from Brazil. It's the favela.
Yeah. So let's say it had a Checker logo on the back of it. I could scan that. And I could basically, I wanted to buy it, and you could get, something because you're an extension of saying something. It could be music, could say a lot of different things. You know, outside of that, I think the other thing I'm really much looking forward to is some of the things in and around agriculture, whether our bloom boosters or the agricultural sensors that we're able to give farmers real-time data and information to grow their crops better. And, you know, knowing the disease and pressure of mildew or botrytis or something is coming in, or being able to help with water stresses. Because, you know, California, I'm going to make sure I get this right, because it's out of all the water used in America, 80% goes to agriculture. And out of that 80% of all the water, 70% is used in California alone. I mean, the massive amounts of agriculture. There's other agriculture out there, but they're not needing the water as much for the crops that California grows. And we're going to have a water problem here very shortly if we start to figure things out. And there's some really cutting edge things happening in water technology so that we can, you know, grow our crops and feed ourselves and do it in a healthy, dynamic way. So I think those are the things that excite me the most with all the things that we can do out there in the world.
Yeah,
I got one other one. It's probably my pet project. So I'm using a technology that one of my business partner uses to for NASA to find exoplanets, since we did some things cool around finding the provenance of wine. And that really, we're ready to launch it. Just kind of right now, it's kind of hard to do that when getting around the country, let alone the world, is a little tough thing to do. So as soon as it lifts up, there's some things I'm really looking forward to doing within the wine world. You know, and here's another one. Let me ask you this. If you could take garbage and turn it into energy with no emissions, what would you think of that?
I mean, yeah, for sure. That's a no-brainer, right?
So what makes it even a bigger no-brainer is we're spending money to throw it into a hole to just deal with it that way. When you take it and you turn it into energy, you've actually turned it into a profit center.
Makes sense.
So we're living in the day where, you know, my friend, our generation of the millennials are going to have a chance to take some of these technologies and do some pretty amazing things. And when you start to do those things, it's going to open it up for even more creation and doing things in a new way. But in some ways, it's a return to the old and the new.
Yeah, it makes sense. I think when people are forcefully unplugged from the machine of, you know, their gig and traveling to their gig, and they have time to contemplate, it's really going to be interesting to see what choices people make.
Yeah.
And I think that's both employers and employees, and whether it's contractors or what have you. So I can see where there's probably a small but impactful group like yourself that have ideas of put them on the shelf for practicality reasons. And are like, you know what, like this being practical didn't work out too well. So let's shoot for something bigger. And the stuff you're working on is very exciting and very transformational. So have you thought about, like, what is your take? You're involved in one particular venture around blockchain. Is blockchain going to actually have the impact that we think it is? Will there be another generation that does that? Is it going to be a different technology? Like, what's kind of your feeling on that?
Yeah, so I think blockchain, and for anybody listening to this, it's, you know, there's different levels and degrees of blockchain, but it's kind of like when the websites came out and, you know, nobody could code and you had to do all that. And then Squarespace came out and other programs like WordPress and made it more accessible and more easy. For me, blockchain is just a big database. And I know there's some user interface and some things, but it's really not that technical. But there's kind of, you know, where that next generation of it is. And there's some very big companies that are working on it. And what we've done is we've tied ours to an actual label. And then we put a 3D hologram within that so that we're able to store information there locally. As one example, the astronauts are getting payloads up at the International Space Station. They're able to have localized data on there, whether it be video or manuals, because it's just, you know, the internet's just not it's a resource, and they're not going to be shipping manuals and books up there for the payloads. So having it localized on there and information and data and having that accessible was really key. So I think tying it to a product, and then We've also, through this whole virus, we're finding out that the UK got 2 or 3 million, it's either 2 or 3 million tests, and they were fake. They were forged. They were no good.
Oh, really?
People are really wanting to have authenticity. Mm-hmm. They're wanting something that it says it is, and that's what it is. The UK as well, this is a story, this last Christmas, a young girl, I want to say she's about 12 years old, she went down to the store and bought a box of Christmas cards. And she came home and was writing them out to family members and friends. And in there was a Christmas card from somebody from a factory saying, "I'm a slave laborer."
I've heard this. Do you don't think that's an urban legend?
It made it to the news. So unless the news was spreading an urban legend, you know, I guess we can never tell on some of the things nowadays, but
hard to tell, right?
You know, there is a lot of,
but I think to your point, it's like, we want like authenticity and we want, so I think the benefit of blockchain or the promise of blockchain is that in an untrustworthy environment, it can, you know, enable transactions. Really, is that, that's the best way that I can think of it. And it takes away the manual aspects of it, right?
Yeah, you're able to really look on what the provenance is, or where that product has come through its supply chain, know how it was handled during various things. You know, that's a big portion of it. But then I think just also tying it to, you know, we want to know where our food came from, and we want to know that, you know, there's, I don't want to pick on any industry out there as a whole, but, you know, the apparel industry, chocolate, and I'm coming to find out a lot of chocolate is made with child slave labor. And wow. You won't pick on any particular candy bars. I like candy bars, but I don't want to buy a candy bar that they're using as child labor. I mean, slave labor either, you know, some 9-year-old kid forced to go to work every day. I'm sorry, but that's
yeah, of course. So are you saying that blockchain itself can help avoid, or at least give you traceability to the fact of where this came from?
That's correct.
Okay. That makes sense. Because there's, I think some of the most interesting applications of blockchain are, for me, the potential to, how do I put it, handle identity without exposing yourself.
That's very good. That's really good. You mind if I use that? I like that. And it's also the supply chain too, of being able to use it internally and know where your products are as a global society, and things are moving and going fast. That track and traceability of knowing, you know, who handled your wine the last time in the wine business, it's very important, because did that get shipped in a box or in a container, and did that container reach 100 degrees on the inside, and I'm bringing in wine from another country, and now it's not what it should be.
That's interesting. Yeah, you know, it's important. I have this dream that someone's going to put a lot of effort into creating digital envoys. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, you know, right now, to get anything done, people want to know you're trustworthy, and the way you expose yourself is your personally identifiable information, which is your identity, right? But it's like, well, what do you really need to know about me? What you need to know about me is what I want, and whether I have the means to deliver on what you're going to give me and need in return, right? So it's like the contract aspect. And to me, it's like, I need this thing, this digital, almost like Jarvis from Iron Man. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what the technology is that becomes universal. In my head, some of that is blockchain. You know, there's an element where that goes out into the world and represents me. And I just don't know what the technology needs to be where it's not such a leap that it takes 10, 20 years for that to happen.
Michael.
I kind of guess, you know, could blockchain be an answer there, or part of an answer?
Yeah, I think with some of the solutions around taking out the nefarious aspect of it so that somebody can get in and hack it, and having that unhackable system is pretty key, because people are going to look to cut corners. But as you were talking about how people trust and do business, that's what I think really LinkedIn is other than a place for people just to, you know, cold call 1,000 people. For those that really, really use it right, it's a way of being able to find other like-minded individuals who bring value to a community and to help other people accomplish their goals. It's, you know, if I wish more people would use, you know, have the mentality of the late great Zig Ziglar, help enough people accomplish their dreams and you'll accomplish yours. And there's something about bringing value where the LinkedIn community can really do that. That, I think, is, in my opinion, for our generation, I think is going to go down in the history books as something that really allowed us to connect, because there's people all over this world that I consider like family to me, and I've never met them in person, but I would do just about anything for them. And it really begins that opportunity to do business out of trust and knowing that, you know, I've got a good friend and a couple of them in Australia and New Zealand and Thailand and Europe. It's just makes the world a lot better. So I think LinkedIn is one of those ones for me, for at least for business.
Yeah, it probably needs to, I mean, there's always been a culture around it where there's a way to behave and not behave. That's probably been breached a little bit. And I feel like almost in this, people are more conscious about messaging, but you know, there's got to be some other way to take it to another level. And I'm sure there'll be an evolution of that technology, but they have all the professional network and data that's there, right? Like it could be applied in a different way. So it's definitely going to be interesting to see LinkedIn over the next 5-10 years.
Yeah.
Or something.
Maybe, you know, we're about due for maybe Facebook go away, and maybe, you know, maybe you and one of your guests are going to invest in the next Facebook.
You know, Facebook, I feel like it's still a super powerful platform. I think that they're going to be a lot like Google, where they evolved the business and they've invested in things like, you know, Oculus. There's a commerce and a privacy model that they want to implement. I don't know how long that's going to take to become reality, where they're saying, hey, secure messaging, groups, transactions, right? So they're like, let's change the business model from advertising based. Will that happen? I don't know. Or to your point, maybe somebody will come in and take what is good about that and flip it on its ear, but it's going to be interesting to see. I tend to think that they're very innovative and probably ahead of the curve, but I don't know. Instagram's pretty powerful. WhatsApp's pretty powerful.
I haven't ventured too far off on Instagram, and you know, there's only so much in a day that typically not enough hours in the day to get done what I already want to do.
Crazy. It's like dopamine hits for everybody.
Well, this I've got for you is, as I've been producing television, and yesterday it's not going to basically be making any movies this year. So, you know, how does that feel for, you know, your greater community there?
It's interesting, because I think that there's, you know, you hit it on the head. Like, I think there's a lot of recycled ideas. And as anyone that's lived through the 80s or 90s, and then you're seeing the same stuff you had just made maybe better, fresher, but or worse, depending on how you look at it. There's not a lot of originality necessarily. So what I'm hearing from people that are kind of in that space is there's a lot of writing going on and not a lot of production. Yeah. So that might be a good thing. Hopefully some great stuff comes out of it, because there's not a ton of original stuff, and stuff that is too original and doesn't meet a demographic can get lost in the shuffle. Like, I just heard that Watchmen got canceled, which I was pretty disappointed about. But I think that was pretty cutting edge what they did on the HBO series. But it'll be interesting to see. Like, I think there's a real seedy underbelly to Hollywood. And what, you know, to your point, why do I need to be in Los Angeles or in Hollywood to make great stuff? Because it can easily be a distributed model. Theaters are probably toast after this. I can't see theaters surviving this. So then you have unlimited, if I create content, like if I know what the heck I'm doing, or I build a model, I should be able to distribute it to people. I should be able to build a list and an audience and get it direct to people. And I don't know how, there's probably something there that I'm hoping empower some really cool, young, innovative creatives that aren't going to beg for permission to that old guard, you know?
Yeah.
And then I could see an explosion of digital acting or animation for that matter.
Very could be, just like what you're doing with podcasting. I mean, how many people listen to, I mean, I listen to a lot more podcasts in the background, and
yeah.
I thought to myself about a year ago, 2 years ago, I should do just podcasting. And I'm like, you know, yeah, I got enough to going on that I'll leave it to the pros like yourself to do this.
I don't know, I'm a pro, but
so is any new entrepreneur out there thinking about the things that they're doing? You know, I would just like to encourage them to just press in hard. And don't let anybody tell you you can't do something. If they do tell you you can't do it, just prove them wrong.
I love it. That's great. Well, anybody, and particularly, I think, you know, if you look at the stuff that's going to blow up, it's like AI, robotics, 3D printing, you know, synthetic biology. You've touched on some of the ag stuff and the security crypto stuff. To someone coming new into the world, that might be intimidating. But I think it's not about whether you're an expert in those things, right? I think it's like, what does this do and what could I do with it? And that's the entrepreneurs. So to your point, don't let the feeling that this is an enormous, you know, this is another generation of technology that maybe is left only to scientists.
Yeah.
Because in the end, those are the people that need direction. They need someone with imagination to come out and say, hey, can you do this? And they go, yeah. They're not dreaming. They're working the details, right?
Yeah, I think that's just what you hit on a couple of things that are really kind of some great nuggets is being an expert in something is kind of scary, actually, most of the time. And I think you're a lot better off coming in with a fresh perspective and looking at it a little different. There's a project that we've got going, and I brought somebody in that had no clue what we're doing and just dumped it on them. And she came out of it, and you know, I give myself a pat on the back because I knew we could have someone with that fresh perspective. And then when you talk about scientists and really super intelligent people, and they're geniuses, and I work with some of the brightest minds in this world, but there are people on my team that might not be called a genius, but they are a genius in the things that they do, whether it's communication, whether it's writing, marketing, the ability of connecting people and getting things done. So I think we're all a genius in our own right. And this is an absolute truth. I've done some really cool things in my life, but I've not done any of them by myself. It's always been in a team. And to go far, you need an incredible team in order to just get some great stuff done.
Yeah. One of my friends that I've done a lot of work with said it best. He goes, I don't know what it is that you do, but I think you should just call it make shit happen. So to your point, Scott, I think we want to encourage entrepreneurs that, first of all, there are the transformational technologies. You don't have to be the scientist to apply them, just like you don't have to be the programmer to build apps, right? It's dream about what this could be and what it can do. And that's the next generation. That's the next 10, 20 years that needs to come out of these things.
Yeah, I would say any listener out there that discovers hyperdrive, would you please come and talk to me? Because I'd like to fund a spaceship or something. Maybe, you know.
I think I want a transporter.
Yeah, but then you need to get the Star Trek Enterprise to go along with that transporter. So, you know, if you get that, come and talk to me, Michael, because, you know.
We'll stay in touch.
Cash money. No.
Listen, I want to be conscious of your time. First of all, I want to acknowledge you and the really interesting work that you're doing.
Thank you.
I appreciate you being a guest today on the podcast.
Yes, thank you.
What's the best way for people to get in touch with you, or should people get in touch with you?
No, I mean, absolutely. We're growing and got a movement of really some cool things going with from waste to energy and agriculture. And let's face it, the game is broken. And let's fix it.
I love it.
Just for the heck of it. And I would say they can reach out to me through our website, or they can find me on LinkedIn. And I'm always there to support other like-minded individuals. And I just encourage everyone to let's take this opportunity as a reset, and then let's go change the game.
I love it. That's very inspiring. And I echo your sentiment. All right, I'm going to wrap up with a couple quick things. First of all, if you are the sum of the five people that you spend the most time with, who do you, Scott, normally spend the most time with?
Naming their names out, my assistant Tracy Travis as business development, Ryan on sales and marketing, a couple scientists, Michael and Dan, and so that's a pretty weird mixture, and it's kind of those are the sum of the people that I kind of we've just been so nose to the grindstone of getting things out and ready to go. And I love what I do. Sometimes I don't watch TV anymore. I just love what I do so much.
Oh yeah, that's way better than TV. Jeez. Yeah. Okay, how are you, Scott, changing the world?
Bringing technologies to the market that doing things the right way, and start, you know, there's just some stuff we're doing out there that just doesn't make any sense anymore. Clean, green energy, waste energy, supply chain. I think, you know, doing my part, and you know, what I'm doing is just really bringing a collection of people together that are doing the work. And whether that makes me the band leader or the janitor, either way, it's doing something that's a lot of fun.
I love it. That's amazing. It's an inspiring example. So the final thing is, when we have interesting people on the podcast, we like you to nominate other interesting people to be on the Automate and Grow podcast. We usually talk to experts or entrepreneurs and across different industries, but who would you, Scott, like to nominate as a future guest of Automate and Grow?
Just one?
It's up to you. You can nominate more than one.
Corey Warfield is one. Have you had Corey on yet?
Nope.
Corey.
Corey Warfield. And what does Corey do?
Corey has a time app for scheduling app called Schedule. And they're blowing it up. He's been working at it hard. He's put up a great team. Mike Harshfield is his CEO. Mike's incredible as well. So I think Bob Sager as well.
I think Bob's going to be on, actually.
There's my cousin in the background there. So he didn't get caught off at the other place. He's gone. yes. But, you know, I would nominate this person as well. I want to make sure I get his band name correctly, but it's been a great, it's Chad Berquin, but it's Berquin. And Chad and his brother have a country band with a little bit of a pop sound to it, but I've met him on LinkedIn, and we've got some projects we're working on, and I've just really greatly appreciated his friendship and connecting me with some things to upset that apple cart and get things changing.
I love it. That's amazing. Great nominations, and we accept those two nominations. Well, I guess it's two and a half. Bob's going on as well.
Just give Bob a hard time.
Not that Bob's a half. Bob's already coming on.
There you go. Michael, let me know if I can be of any service to you. If you get along this line and you need anything from wine country to anything, please don't hesitate to just reach out. And if you're ever up in Northern California and Oregon, wine country, let me know. I'll hook you up.
That's amazing. I'm excited. I will definitely do that. Scott, I appreciate your time today, and I appreciate you being a guest.
Sounds great. Thank you, sir.
No problem. This has been another episode of the Automate and Grow podcast. We will see you on a future episode of Automate and Grow.